night, and he did a very good job with them. It's again a privilege to be in this pulpit, and I'll thank Dr. Nail and the rest of the congregation for that privilege. I appreciate it very much. I want to thank you for your presence. It is that it's cold and it's miserable and it's wet, and you still showed up. And I appreciate that very much. It's a appropriate thing to do in this day and age. This evening, we're going to talk about five smooth stones. We're going to talk about David, Goliath, Saul, all of those gentlemen with whom we have had many talks over the years, and I hope we can learn a little something tonight about it. David is my favorite character in the Old Testament. He is brave. He fears God. He is a man after God's own heart. That's what the text says. We'll read it completely here in a little while. But look at what he was. He was a good musician. He wrote almost half of the Psalms. He was a warrior, skilled. He was an administrator who was competent. And he has done many things for us. He wasn't perfect. Didn't claim to be. But he feared God and he did what God had instructed him to do. So that's who we're going to talk about tonight. If you don't know about David, look him up. He's a worthy individual to talk about, to talk to. The background and location here is a conflict which Samuel writes about between Philistia and Israel. The outcome described in the battle in which David participated along with some of the Philistine warriors. Philistia was located in the southwestern plain of what is today Palestine. There are five cities that were called Philistia. They are Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. Most of those cities are in the southern plain. Some people even believe that the word Palestine comes from Philistia. Whether that's true or not, it's an interesting thought at any rate. The armies of these two combatants were apparently all volunteer, with the possible exception of some mercenaries that we'll talk about. Israel's army was volunteer. They did not have a standing army. It was led by Saul, the king. The Philistines had a champion, Goliath. He was possibly, according to some commentators, a mercenary. In other words, he was not necessarily a Philistine, but rather was a hired gun. Only it wasn't a gun, it was a sword and a spear and everything else. But that's what he used, and he was huge. We'll talk about him here in a minute. The participants, we're going to talk about three of the participants this evening. First one was King Saul, the first king of Israel. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Supposedly he was a handsome individual, head and shoulders taller than any other of the Israelites. When he started off, he was a very humble individual. But that changed and he began to ignore what God had instructed him to do. Before on the night of his last battle, he consulted with the witch of Endor, which was in violation of God's word. But he and his sons were all killed at the battle of Mount Gilboa. Second individual is Goliath. We've heard of Goliath since we were kids. He's big. He is bigger than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or any of the basketball players. He was probably between 7 and 9 feet tall, leaning toward the 9. Probably weighed, although there's no numbers to confirm this, but in order to carry the armor and the weapons that he did, he probably weighed in excess of 400 pounds. Now, I'm fat, but for me to get over 200 pounds is a deal. This guy was probably twice that. And he was a trained warrior from all we can read. He had with him several weapons, and we'll discuss those here in a little bit. The other thing that I want you to note is that not only did the Philistines have this tremendously sized individual, they had others who were also trained in war, but they also were able to use iron. They had entered the Iron Age, which most of the others had not. Israel had not. Israel's weapon were brass or bronze. But they, and you can see it, you can read about it here in what we've read through that. Despite the superiority of weapons, David was to prevail. And the last of the three is David. Always thought that David was probably about 5'10" and a handsome young man, but it doesn't say that. It says that he was handsome, but it doesn't say anything about his height or any of that. He is the second king of Israel, a skilled musician, author of a little less than one half of the Psalms, a national leader, a hero among the people. Despite his adultery with Bathsheba, he was still a man after God's own heart. He ruled Israel as king for about 40 years. So he survived and was apparently a capable king, one that we should keep in mind. And take a look at the weapons that these individuals carried. Goliath's weapons were outstanding. He had a helmet of brass, greaves of brass, a coat of mail, a target or a spear, and another spear with a head of iron, and a sword. All of those weapons were either in brass, bronze, or iron. And when he was so armed as this, he would be virtually invincible to most weapons. We keep that in mind as we go past, because Goliath feared nothing and had a tremendous amount of military skill in him. The last one's weapons we'll discuss are much simpler than Goliath's. They're David's. David had a staff, some type of wooden implement. He had a sling, and he had 5 smooth stones. I think I told you once before, a while back, that I always wondered why the stones were smooth, whether it was for additional velocity or just because they picked them up in the creek and that's what they were. At any rate, that's what he was. And the sling is not what we had as kids, which were some rubber bands and a T-shaped item. They could shoot at birds or whatever. This was a piece of leather with 2 straps that were used. Tribe of Benjamin was superior at that. David was not of the tribe of Benjamin. But he had a sling that could be used very accurately and very deadly, and that's what happens here. We'll stick together tonight. Saul's weapons, He had a helmet of brass, a coat of mail, and a sword. What else he had, we don't know. But as we said, he was the biggest of all the Israelites, so we assume that his weapons were as appropriate as he could make them. I want you to think about David's most important rules. Look at, if you haven't been there, look at the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. Take a look at that, verses 46 and 47. Let's read that. This is David speaking to the Philistine, to Goliath. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you and remove your head from your body. I will give you the dead bodies of the armor of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of Israel, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. Understand that you have this young man, probably in his late teens or early 20s, not trained, to be a warrior, not used to any weapons of war. He refused Saul's weapons when they were offered to him. You have him there, and he is not afraid. He's facing a huge individual, well-skilled, with tremendous armor, and he keeps coming. If you read the text carefully, when Goliath begins to attack, to come forward, David doesn't walk toward him. He runs toward him, runs toward an individual who is twice his size and fears nothing. And yet David runs to him. He pursues him in battle because he trusts in the Lord. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind that he's not afraid. And why is he not afraid? God has given him control over a bear and a lion, and he's certainly not afraid of this giant which he faces. What do we learn from this future king? What do we learn from David? Saul was apparently a reasonably good warrior. He had won some battles, and he had done some things. He was a good-sized man, but he doesn't follow God, and as a result, he dies in another battle with the Philistines. We must learn from David that we trust in God. He didn't trust in swords or spears or He certainly didn't have any firearms of the day. But he used what he had and was skilled with, and he won the battle. We cannot fear our battles. We face warriors of the devil every day. We can't forget those. They're going to come at us, and we've got to find a reason and a way to stop them and to win the battle. If we don't do that, then we fear that the devil will have his way with us, and that's not what we can do. We cannot fear, but we must seek courage from God. Look where the courage comes from. It doesn't come from a large sword. It doesn't come from armor. It doesn't come from a individual in front of you with a shield, but rather it comes from a trust in God. And that's what we must trust in. We cannot fail. If God is with us, who cares who's against us? Keep that in mind. That's what we have. We cannot forget that. It is something that we must keep in mind, that we must not fear, because God is with us. And that's who we must trust in. David was in all a good man. If you look at Acts, the 13th chapter, verses 22 and 23, let's turn to that. If you have that, it's Acts, the 13th chapter, starting at verse 22. And after he had removed him, that was Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought forth in Israel, into Israel, a Savior, Jesus. That's what these people thought of David. That's why we can use him as an example, and how we must use what we learn from him and not fall, not fail through that. If you want to, if I were me, I would mark that in my book, in my Bible, because that's what I want to remind me of as we go through. If you were here tonight and you have not been baptized, we have the clothing, we have the water, and you may be assured that we have individuals who will be happy to baptize you. If you have in the past been baptized and have somehow slipped away, we can help you correct that problem this evening. We can assist you in any way this good book allows. Please come as together and we sing, and Ronnie will lead us in a song.
Who will follow Jesus standing for